This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. When the eastern span of the Bay Bridge was built, it was designed to be awe-inspiring. A shining tower rising above the water, suspending one of the nation's most significant thoroughfares. Well, it does all that, but massive cost overruns and continuing structural problems have many people deeply concerned about whether building such an innovative bridge was a good idea. One of those people is Jackson Vanderbecken, an investigative journalist with the San Francisco Chronicle. He sat down to talk with KALW's Ben Trefney.
The latest problem that was discovered on the Bay Bridge are microscopic cracks in two more of the rods that secure the tower to the foundation. Do they have any idea about where those tiny cracks came from? Was it before they were installed, or was it after they were installed?
Well, there's evidence to suggest it was definitely after, because apparently these cracks are a product of service, in a way, or at least installation. So when something's installed, it's stretched and then brought back. Something happens during that time frame that helps generate these cracks. So you have a brand new rod out of the box, so to speak, that's not been on the span, that hasn't been tensioned and reduced and left there. They don't find those cracks on those kind of
rods. Well, I would suggest they're not testing it under the same conditions or something that's similar enough to what the bridge usually undergoes.
Well, that is an interesting point, because what they've done with these tests is to just progressively tension the rods at a greater rate. They didn't put them under tension, let it be reduced, let them sit there, and then start the tensioning up. They just basically started from zero and went up a little and more and more and more, which isn't exactly replication of the field conditions, so to speak. And ironically, the two sets of rods where they did get failure in the test were rods that had already been in service. In 2008 rods, that's the batch that was part of the group that failed dramatically in 2013, and rods in 2010, which were taken out of the bridge and brought out for testing. So there's something about the way the rods get installed. Once they're stretched and brought back to regular tension levels, that arguably creates a phenomenon that then can make them more or less susceptible to this problem over time.
Caltrans just got its new budget for the bridge approved by the Toll Bridge Oversight Committee last week, and they initially asked for $32.5 million to help cover costs, including unexpected fixes like cleaning and protecting these rods. They got a lot less. They got $22 million, which leaves less money for dealing with costs to be named later, which keep coming up. So how are they going to ensure the bridge's safety if they don't have the money that they feel they need to do it with?
Well, that's an interesting question. They acknowledge that cutting the amount of overhead costs from $30 to $22 million does leave them vulnerable to unexpected costs. And I guess they'll cross that bridge, so to speak.
Do you think there's going to be continued discoveries of new problems or further?
Well, we don't know. That's the thing about this bridge, is that I think Caltrans thought they'd had all this. They spent $20 million testing and a $25 million retrofit. They have detected a fair amount of corrosion across a number of platforms related to the cable and other areas. There was water leaks into the span, and they call this the shakedown period, where they're going to find things that are not, what they would have expected. And they anticipate that period lasting, some like 5 years. So
we're still in the window of unanticipated discovery.
Well, when houses are constructed, there's a 10-year warranty that you have 10 years from the time of being constructed, large and small structures, where you have to find out what's going on and sue the contractor for doing that. I don't know what that window is here for the bridge, but they found some problems, and I'm sure they're hoping that they find no more, but, time will tell.
That's Jackson Vanderbecken. He's a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, Caltrans, I'm wondering, do you think they've changed their attitude about how they're addressing safety concerns on the bridge over time?
I don't detect a lot of change in the way. I think fundamentally they would say the bridge is safe. And they're even saying that in the case of the tower rods, they're saying they essentially don't need them, that the tower rods, they're not quite clear on why they would spend so much time and effort to order them up and put them in and have them tensioned at a certain designated level, and now that level is being reduced over time. Nonetheless, they say that, you know, they've done modeling, and they presented recently this modeling to show that, well, you know, we don't really need these, so even if they do fail en masse, it's not a considerable threat that the bridge is earthquake safe nonetheless.
That's just kind of a whole bizarre concept that they would build something in that's not necessary, actually.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, the same company that helped design this bridge, T.Y. Lin, is now doing an analysis that says that the things that they envisioned as being necessary aren't really necessary. And it's kind of an interesting, nobody's really pressed how it is that the same design firm can find that the bridge needed this elaborate mechanism of basically being bolted down this tower, which is very heavy. The idea was to keep it from jumping up, causing it to damage itself in the process of upheaval. And I think the idea was, based on what we've talked to people who remember the design at the onset, is that they didn't want to torque this tower. They didn't want to damage it because it's very difficult to repair with the bridge still functioning. So they wanted to keep it from moving at all. And this latest study by T.Y. Lin indicates it might move just a fraction of an inch. So if that's the case, you know, perhaps the repairs would not be dramatic. But it does sort of defy logic that the same design firm that put together this project and would have went to a great length to make sure that these rods were installed and then they were put in, and you know, they're 24 feet long almost, and installing them, anchoring them, not an easy process. I mean, and they can't be replaced without being cut up, at least most of them, so without even more big headaches like taking off out the steel skirt that surrounds them. While the water's there, they could theoretically take some of them out and put new ones in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the cost on something like that, we don't even know. And so I think the fundamental plan of attack now is they don't need them. And which is odd since they just got more money to study this problem too. So, I mean, they're still, you know, in the midst of trying to wrestle these questions.
Jackson Vanderbecken reports for the San Francisco Chronicle. He spoke with KLW's Ben Trefney.